Tape recorded message number TL300. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. When I stated that this was message number 300, it's almost hard for me to believe that we have reached this goal. This ministry, this special part of this ministry, has been carried on now for 7 years. That is, by the time you are hearing this, we made the first one in 1970 and sent them out. And here we are, we will be in 1977. And in those 7 years, we have produced these 300 messages. I give thanks to our great God who has made it possible for me to perform this ministry, which to many people is the only real biblical help that they have. To many people, it's about their only source of spiritual food. Oh, they can get a lot of junk food as far as the radio broadcast and television programs are concerned, but the sure and certain word of God is mighty hard to find in these days. I thank the Lord that he's made it possible for me to provide it. I sometimes wish that I had nothing else to do but to study and prepare and produce these messages. But I do have other things to do, as you well know. I try to produce 15 issues of Seed and Bread each year, and I have been able to do so. I have other obligations of ministry that I carry on here in Los Angeles, and therefore do not have all the time that I wish I could give to the study of these things, but I do my very best to feed you upon the Word of God. We're going through the book of Jeremiah, and I don't know whether you're enjoying it or not, but I'm enjoying it. I don't know whether you're learning anything or not, but I know that I'm learning, seeing a lot of things that I've never seen before, and getting a lot of things straight maybe that I did not have straight before. We've come now to the 38th chapter, and we looked at the first four verses of chapter 38, where the princes had said, we came to the fourth verse, where the princes said to the king, "We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all this people, and people in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." Now, we read in the fifth verse, Zedekiah the king said, "Behold, he's in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." Here Zedekiah has to confess that he's not really a king, that he's a weak man, that he lacks authority against the princes, and he doesn't want to put himself into conflict with them, and so he just delivers Jeremiah unconditionally into their hands. In the sixth verse we read that they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, and Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now just imagine that. In another prison court there was this underground dungeon, and there was no way in and there was no way out except by the use of ropes, and the bottom of the pit was deep with mud. And that's the way that they chose to put Jeremiah to death. And they had him lowered by ropes into the dungeon, and there he sank in the mire. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 53, we discover that they rolled a stone over the mouth of the pit, and there he was in darkness, and there they left him. Now, there was a man named Ebed Melek. And when Ebed Melek, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed Melek went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king. And this brave and this compassionate African, who was a eunuch in the king's household, and he determined that at all risks, braving all danger that might come to himself, he had to save Jeremiah, and he dared to go right to the king. In the 9th verse, we find what he said. He said, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Now, he didn't put the blame on the princes. He put the blame right on the princes. And he showed the king that Jeremiah would die if he were left in the pit, for certainly he would get no bread there. Now, Zedekiah, he speaks to Ebed-Melech in the 10th verse. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." And it is plain that this African, this Ethiopian, that he spoke with such telling effect before the king, the Zedekiah reversed his own act at the risk of getting into conflict with the princes, and he ordered the release of Jeremiah. Now, it would be a very difficult thing to get him out of the pit, and a very dangerous thing, and so he was provided 30 men to help with this task. So in verse 11, we read that Ebed-Melech took the men with him, 30 men, went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. That is touching. I suppose that the place that he had in the household, this man knew, this African knew, Ebed-Melech knew, where all those old and apparently useless things were stored, those things that accumulate in any great household. And yet these things proved to be of very special value when they were wanted for some special use. So in the 12th verse we read that Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords." Jeremiah did so. And so he put the arms under, put the old rags under his arms, and then he put the cords there. And in verse 13, we read they drew up Jeremiah with the cords, took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. And so in the pit, of course, he would get no food, but the prison court and a small ration of bread each day was meant deliverance and great cause for thanksgiving. Now, Zedekiah the king sends for Jeremiah. This is the 14th verse. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. So he met him in one of the innermost parts of the temple for the sake of secrecy. Now Zedekiah speaks to Jeremiah, and the king said unto Jeremiah, "I'm going to ask thee a thing. Hide nothing from me." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me?" So we can see here that Jeremiah is hesitant to talk with Zedekiah, for he knew his life was not safe with him, and he was sure that Zedekiah would never take his counsel. And so Zedekiah gave an oath to Jeremiah, And we read in the 16th verse that Zedekiah the king swears secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life." So at this secret meeting, the king swore to Jeremiah, and he swore by the Lord, "I won't put you to death myself, and I will not deliver you into the hands of your enemies, the princes." And that was the last thing that Jeremiah had done, and he was known as one who broke his oaths. He could give Jeremiah no real security. Now Jeremiah speaks to Zedekiah. "Then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of the host of Israel, If thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, for thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given in the hands of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand." Now this was Jeremiah's last word, as far as we know, with Zedekiah. And even now he had assurance to give him that if Zedekiah would go out to the king of Babylon's princes, if you'll go out and surrender, then you'll live, and they'll not burn the city. But if not, the city will be burned, and you will not escape from your enemies. So now Zedekiah answers Jeremiah. And in the 19th verse, Zedekiah, the king, said to Jeremiah, "I'm afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands, and they mock me." So he was afraid to go out. He was afraid that if he were to go out to the Chaldeans, those Jews that had already done so, in spite of his effort to prevent it, for some had already surrendered following the words of Jeremiah, that they would treat him and mock him, treat him ill and mock him if he went out now and surrendered. Now here we have a rather peculiar thing. But Jeremiah said, "They shall not deliver thee." Then he said, "Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me." Now here's the peculiar thing. "And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and these women shall say." Now this is what the women will say. "Thy friends have set thee on, and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives, and thy children, the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, so that thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire." Now, Jeremiah has assured the king that he will not be in any way delivered to those Jews, the Jews that he feared would hurt him if he did go out, because he had urged them not to go. Now he beseeches him to obey the voice of the Lord, the voice that you've often heard so many times, he says, through me. He says, if you do that, you will live. Otherwise, all your household will be brought before the king of Babylon's princes, his wives and his children, and then your wives will be a reproach to you, saying, those that pretended to be your friends, they deceived you, and they persuaded you to do what was wrong. And now you're caught in a trap and you can't escape because all your friends have forsaken thee. And Jeremiah also said that you yourself will be responsible for the burning of the city. Now Zedekiah speaks to Jeremiah and he says, "Let no man know of these words, and thou shalt not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with thee, and they come unto thee and say unto thee, Declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death, also what the king said unto thee, then thou shalt say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house and die there. So all the king seeks to have Jeremiah do is to keep this a secret. What he has said in the interview must not become known. And if the princes should hear of this, and they would question Jeremiah, then Jeremiah was to say he presented a petition to the king that he might not be sent back to dungeon in Jonathan's house, for if there, he would die. Well, in verse 27, the princes do come. And then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king commanded. So they left all speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So it is evident that there were no secrets in Zedekiah's court, just like there's no secrets in any government. And so news of this interview leaked out, and the princes, they came and they questioned Jeremiah, and they were put off in the very way that the king had suggested, for that was the truth, only it was not all the truth. So the matter that was discussed was not discovered. And in the 28th verse, we read that Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. So Jeremiah was still in this court, the court of the prison, when the great event took place, which for 40 years had been the subject of all his prophecies, and he saw it take place. He had said over and over, Jerusalem shall be taken, and Jerusalem was taken. And there was a pretended release of the slaves, though it took place at the end of Zedekiah's reign. It shows that there was no real repentance on the part of the rulers could be trusted. They just released their slaves through pressure of circumstances, and not from any respect for the law of God and their compassion for suffering men. And once the pressure of the siege had been lifted, they had no hesitation in breaking their oath to God and bringing these poor again under their oppression. They proved by this that nothing but punishment to the uttermost could affect them. And even though the example of the Rechabites was made use of so that, if possible, for very shame they might be brought to change their conduct, they paid no attention to this. And so we find here in the closing words of the 38th chapter that Jeremiah was there when Jerusalem was taken. And remember those words, Jerusalem was taken. Now in the 39th verse, we come to the final captivity of Judah. That in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Samgar-Nebo, Sarsechim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. It came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out to the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. When they had taken him, they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. He was the conqueror, and this is the punishment that fell upon these men. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains, and he brought him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house, and the house of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captain to Babylon, the remnant of the people that remained in the city, those that fell away that fell to him with the rest of the people that remain. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah, gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. These poor people that had nothing, they got the vineyards. Then Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him, and look well to him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebushashban, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharazer, Rabmag, and all the princes of Babylon's, all the king of Babylon's princes, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison, committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should carry him home. So he dwelt among the people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt not be given it into the hand of the men of whom thou art afraid. For I will surely deliver thee, thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be for a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. Here was a man who was, shall we say, saved by trust, and we might even say that he was saved by faith. Now, we've simply read that chapter. We've hurried through it. I might remark that this siege of Jerusalem lasted for a year and a half, and the very words that are spoken to Jeremiah at the beginning, when he saw the seething pot, that we saw back in 115, was fulfilled. And we saw the flight and the pursuit and the capture of Zedekiah, and how he was brought before King Nebuchadnezzar, and the sentence that was pronounced upon him, the awful sentence, and how the city was burned and the captivity became complete, and only those that had nothing at all are the ones that had anything left. And then we see the tender care that was given by Nebuchadnezzar to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was given liberty to go to his home. Every prophecy that he spoke was fulfilled. Not that he wanted it that way, not that he wanted it to be, not that God wanted it that way. But that's the way it had to be, simply because that the people would not turn to him. Now, beginning with chapter 40, Jeremiah becomes a prophet to the remnant in the land. Now, this little remnant that is left in the land, people who had nothing but now have something. And Jeremiah is going to speak. He's going to speak to them. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, after that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, where he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive unto Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord your God has pronounced this evil upon this place. Now the Lord hath brought it, and done according as he has said, because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing comes upon you. Now Jeremiah had ministered in the city of Jerusalem for 40 years. Now the word of the Lord continued to come to him after this. No question about it, as we see here. In verse 4 he says, now behold, I loose thee this day from the chains which are upon thine hand. If it seem good unto thee to come with me into Babylon, come, and I will look well unto thee. But if it seem ill unto thee to come with me into Babylon, forbear. Behold, all the land is before thee. Whither it seemeth good and convenient for thee to go, thither go. Now, while he was not yet gone back, he said, go back also to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon made governor of the city of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go whithersoever it seemeth convenient unto thee to go. So the captain of the guard gave him victuals and a reward, and let him go. Jeremiah goes right back to his people. Then went Jeremiah unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people that were left in the land. Now when all the captains of forces which were in the fields, even they and their men heard that the king of Babylon made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, governor in the land, and committed unto him men and women and children of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, they then came to Gedaliah, to Mizpah, even Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, Seraiah, the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah, the son of a Maccathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore unto them their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye gather ye wine, and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in the cities that ye have taken. Likewise, when all of the Jews that were in Moab and among the Ammonites and Edom, and that were in all the countries, heard that the king of Babylon left a remnant of Judah, and he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, even all the Jews returned out of all their places where they were driven and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah and to Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruits very much. These had been driven out, but now they come back, as they really do not fear anything from Gedaliah. So they come back and they gather of the fruits of all the vineyards and orchards and so on that were left there. In verse 13, moreover, Johanan, the son of Kareah, all the captains of force were in the fields, came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and said unto him, dost thou certainly know that Balas, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to slay thee? But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, believed them not. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spake to Gedaliah in Mizpah secretly, saying, let me go there, I pray thee, and I will slay Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no man shall know it. Wherefore should he slay thee? And all the Jews that are gathered unto thee should be scattered, and the remnant in Judah perish. But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said unto Jonathan, the son of Kareah, thou shalt not do this thing, for thou speakest falsely against Ishmael. Now, this was these people only suspected that there was a plot against Gedaliah. And one of them offered to kill Ishmael. He saw such danger that he conferred secretly with this Gedaliah. He offered to kill Ishmael, promising that no one would ever find it out. And he pointed out all the disastrous consequences that he thought would happen if Gedaliah should be killed. But Gedaliah said, I want no part of this. And he reproved Johanan for suspecting Ishmael. Now, Ishmael comes to Gedaliah. And we read in the 41st chapter, now it came to pass in the seventh month, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the seed royal, and the princes of the king, even 10 men with him, came unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread together in Mizpah. So 3 months after the burning of Jerusalem, 3 months or more, Ishmael of the royal house of Judah With 10 of Zedekiah's princes, they came to Gedaliah to Mizpah, and there they did eat bread with him, which meant that they enjoyed the closest fellowship. Then in the second verse, we read of the murder of Gedaliah. Then arose Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the 10 men that were with him, and smote Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, with the sword, and slew him, whom the king of Babylon made governor over the land. Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. Now it seems that while they were sitting at the table, that the princes suddenly attacked and killed Gedaliah, who was entertaining them, their host. And the representative of the king of Babylon, and then they massacred everyone that was present, whether they were Jews or Chaldeans or who they were. Well, we read in the fourth verse, it came to pass the second day after he slain Gedaliah, no man knew it, that there came certain men from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, even 80 men having their beards shaven, their clothes rent, and having cut themselves, with offering an incense in their hand to bring them to the house of the Lord. Now, it was just 2 days after this. This thing was still unknown. There came from some of the chief cities of Israel, the very centers of Israel in the north, a party of 80 men who had all the signs of mourning, and they were bringing offerings to take to the site of the temple, which was now desolate. For this destruction of Jerusalem and the cessation at this time of all temple worship, for it had ceased, it deeply affected these Israelites at a time when the Feast of Tabernacles would have attracted many to the temple. They came to its ruins there to mourn and to present their offerings to the Lord. Now, Ishmael will go out to these men, and he will pretend to be sympathetic and to sorrow with them, but we'll see that he murders them. This will come in the 6th and the 7th verses. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went forth from Mizpah to meet them, weeping all along as he went. It came to pass, as he met them, he said unto them, "Come to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam," although Gedaliah is already dead. And it was so, when they came in the midst of the city, that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, slew them, cast them into the midst of the pit, he and the men that were with him. So he tricked them into coming to Mizpah. He did this in order to keep them from spreading the news of what he had done. So he murdered them and threw their bodies into the pit, where he had also thrown the bodies of those that he had killed 2 days before. In the 8th verse we read what 10 men have to say to Ishmael. 10 men were found among them that said to Ishmael, "Slay us not, for we have treasures in the field of wheat and of barley, of oil and of honey." So he forbare and slew them not among their brethren. So there were 10 out of these 80 who saved their lives by offering to tell Ishmael of great hidden stores of food that they had in the country. Now in the 9th verse we read, "Now the pit wherein Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was it which Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha king of Israel. And Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with them that were slain." It was a pit or a cistern, and it had been constructed to hold water, but now it's filled with the bodies of those that were slain. In verse 10 we read then that Ishmael carried away captive all the residue of the people that were in Mizpah, even the king's daughters, and all the people that remained in Mizpah, whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, carried them away captive, and departed to go over to the Ammonites. So Ishmael, this renegade, collected all the people that were left alive in that district, took the daughters even of King Zedekiah, carried them away captive against their will to go to the country of the Ammonites, whose king had sent Ishmael to murder Gedaliah. Now, this treacherous murder and the massacre that followed it destroyed all the hopes that began to grow of peace and prosperity for the people that were left in Judah. The one man that could inspire confidence in both the conquered and the conquered had been cut off. And this crime of Ishmael was so abhorrent to the Jews of the captivity that they observed it as an annual feast day. Now, we read beginning here with the 11th verse. But when Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of forces that were with him, heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, then they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and found him by the great waters that are in Gibeon. Now it came to pass, when all the people which were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of forces were with him, then they were glad. So all the people that Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah cast about and returned, and went unto Johanan, the son of Kareah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with 8 men, and went to the Ammonites. So the news did get back to Johanan. He and all the other captains, and they gathered men together from who were out harvesting the field, and they pursued after Ishmael, who had not gone very far. He was overtaken by the pool of Gibeon. And beginning with the 16th verse, we read, then took Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the force with him, and all the remnant of the people whom he'd recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, from Mizpah, after the Yisrael Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, even mighty men of war, the children, women, the eunuchs, whom he had brought again from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt, because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them, because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. Now, when God has decreed a thing and done a thing, there is no use for man to fight against it. And while this Ishmael thought he was doing very well to assassinate the man that the Nebuchadnezzar had placed in charge of the province of Palestine, he simply caused more suffering, and he simply caused more evil to come upon the people, because he fought against that which the Lord had caused. There came a time when Jerusalem was destroyed, and it was destroyed by decree of God, and Judah lost the land of Palestine, and Jerusalem was destroyed. That can never be rebuilt and can never be restored until God gives the word, and then God will do it himself. And in spite of the brave attempts of many to change this, it will never be changed until God himself speaks the word and assumes sovereignty over all nations, and then his will be done with the people of Israel. So Johanan and the captains consulted as to what course they should take, and very much in fear of what Nebuchadnezzar would do when he heard of the murder of the governor that he'd appointed, they thought of Egypt as a place of refuge. And before they settled their plans, they left the north side of Jerusalem, the waste of Jerusalem, where they were, and they passed the south near Bethlehem, which was in the direction of Egypt, and there they formed their camp until they should decide what to do. Now they make the decision to go into Egypt, and to Egypt, of course, they will go. Now that brings us to the 42nd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and I just have a minute that remains, and I will not start in this chapter, but we'll take it up in the next study. Permit me to say that in becoming more familiar with the book of Jeremiah, we become more familiar with the Word of God. We must ever keep in mind that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God, and that every bit of it is both profitable and necessary, that the man of God might be fully equipped and furnished unto every good work. If there is anyone at all that calls himself a Christian who feels that he can do without any acquaintance with the book of Jeremiah, he will find out that there are literally hundreds of things in the New Testament that are certainly explained by something that is in the Old. Just as I showed you in a recent study how that the generation of God through Jeremiah that resulted in a book being written, and the thing King thought that he could destroy that generation by burning the thing that God had generated, the book. That explains to us what is meant in the New Testament when it says that this generation shall not pass, and refers to the words that were spoken by the Lord. And I do not believe that we can ever come to a proper and a full understanding of the works and the ways of God if we do not have some degree of familiarity with that which is said in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And so let's keep on, and let's travel on, and before we get through, we have at least taken a look at every word that God spoke, and we will keep in mind, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, as was spoken by the Lord in Luke 11:28. It has been my pleasure to teach you, and I have enjoyed doing it. And until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.